Carolla and Dr. Drew. Love Line, coast to coast.
Hey, it's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, Eddie K. Thomas and Sean McGuire are both here from Off Center. This new show on WB, 9 o'clock on Sunday nights. And I've not seen the show yet, I got to be honest. But I have a good excuse because we work Sunday nights, so we're not at home at 9 o'clock.
TiVo it, baby.
We're usually just leaving the
Is
house.
Is your TiVo working yet?
Yeah, I got it back.
Okay.
Let me tell you, you lose that TiVo, it's like losing a child. Now I know how a parent feels when a baby dies of SIDS or something.
It's crazy you had that TiVo sitting there for 3 years before you hooked it up. Didn't you?
It was only like 28 months or something like that. But the point is now it's like the heroin needle. It just sat there for years, and now I'm hooked. I don't know what to do, so I'm going to TiVo.
You're going to enjoy it, Carolla.
Yeah, why is that?
Because it's funny. It's good funny material, especially for the WB. I'm saying it's such a great network that we just add to it.
Right. Are they paying to work for?
Yeah.
I mean, what networks have you experienced? You have
I've been faithful. This is my second television show ever. And, am I on mic? And they've both been for the WB because it is the best network. What was that?
Is that the frog? That's very good.
Michigan J.
Yes.
It's our boss.
Does it still exist, the frog?
Yeah, they kept the frog, but I think they lost the dubba-dubba-dubba-dubba. Right. Drew, please recount the time that I told everybody 6 years ago when we were doing those promos about the dubba-dubba-dubba-dubba, how I was saying, this is so gone, this is so bad.
This is so retarded.
This is so retarded. This will never work.
I want to talk to the
guy. I want to meet the retard who came up with the dubba-dubba-dubba-dubba. And how long did that baby last?
It went a little further because you're like, I'm not going to say it. They're like, here, say it. Okay, WWW. No. 19 more times. Ready? Go.
It's something out of a sitcom. No, it's not WWW. It's WWW.
They probably did tests on how many dubs is enough and how many is not enough. If you did too many,
what's scary?
That's right.
They'd only done that. They would have found out zero.
It's all about the research.
When we only do it 14 times, the audience doesn't think we've committed to it.
Or maybe it's hypnotic. Maybe after a certain amount, that's it. Your brain means you won't be able to change channel for the rest of the evening.
After the 28th dubba, women start taking their pants off, men start reaching for their wallets. it has a hypnotic.
It's exactly what the WB wants, I think.
Yes, you can enslave the world under the under 30 world. All right, so anyway, this is Sunday night, and we trust Eddie. Sean, we're not so sure about, but
you're going to like him. I also have a foreign accent, which can only add sort of suspicion to the proceedings.
Well, Sean is... I don't trust Sean because he's got that fake accent.
Exactly.
He's good looking.
I told you I'm from Florida.
And I was the Queen's English.
I was reading in his bio that big pop star in England and playing Wembley Stadium and all that stuff.
Because big means different in England than it does here. We think our roads are big till you come to California and then you realize that it's the size of London, just one of your roads.
Right. Well,
big pop star in England doesn't quite mean what it means here.
But it's an interesting point. Like, does it? When you're in England, do you? I mean, obviously, it's nice if you're a household name and your neighbors know who you are, and your old school teachers kiss your ass, and all the old boys and everything. But is there a feeling like you have to make it in the United States
There isn't a feeling that you have to make it in the United States to be a star or to be, you know, a lot of people have a lifelong career that make lots of money and very happy for years and years and years. But like, if you're a band or if you're an actor or a solo singer, it's not. Like, we wait for it, but then it's like there's a lot of talk before an artist or an actor goes to the States. And then if they make it, that being made in the States is what makes you a bona fide proper star, I think.
It's the size
of the vastness of it. To crack America means you've cracked like the majority of 270 odd million people. So it's a big thing. I don't think we need it, but when you do, people kind of go, oh, all right, made it in America. Oh, big cheese.
You know what I love about the Brits is he knew there was 270 some odd million people.
I could ask you 100 times.
If I stop the average 19-year-old junior
I'm
college
beginning to learn this
chick
about your country.
And asked her how many people in the country. A zillion? I don't know.
They couldn't tell you the president was.
But in your defense, in America's defense, I've learned that you guys don't need to leave America to live a full and rounded life. You can go to Hawaii for your summer, you can go skiing in Big Bear, you can go this, that, and the other. You never need to leave America, so a lot of people just
You don't need to leave Southern California.
No, I don't intend on it, until they kick me out.
No, it is very true. I always love it, by the way. I was in Big Sur, which is just, if you haven't had a chance to get there,
shot. I'm going in 2 weeks, funnily enough.
Absolutely spectacular. Sometimes, especially if you have a little time and you have a little money, you think you're a wuss for taking a vacation that's in your own backyard.
Mm.
You feel like you're not really doing it right. Like, Drew took his kids. They went through the Panama Canal, for Christ's sake. They met with Fidel Castro. They were all over the place. Meanwhile, I'm driving my car up the 101 to go down to Big Sur. But
if you're relaxed at the end of it, then it's done its job.
I had a great time, but I was standing in Big Sur, and here came a bunch of just off the boat Asian tourists taking pictures, and I thought, yes, now I feel good because you bastards came. It took you a month to get here, and I drove here, and I felt good about it. And I think they should do that. Everywhere you go, they should just have a whole batch of Asian tourists taking pictures who've spent millions of yen and spent millions of days on the road to get there, and it would really make you feel good about yourself.
Wherever you are.
Even if, yeah.
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Lincoln, Nebraska. Yeah. Well, give me the Asian tourists. I want to go see the biggest ball of twine in Idaho. Send the Asian tourists, make me feel good about myself.
Tic-tac-toe.
Things like that. Yeah, there's something that validates your decision if someone else decided to cross the Pacific to come see it, too.
Quite right.
All right, so let's... I gotta make a note. You know, I'm going to England at some point. I've never been to Europe. Yeah,
I imagine at some point you might go a lot of places.
No, I got tickets and stuff.
What are you doing?
I'm going to the there's this thing called the Goodwood tournament. Or it's a car race.
That's about golf, isn't it?
Well, it's a golf. They got a golf course, but they have an old vintage car race and stuff there.
You going to something called Goodwood, I made you think of masturbation.
I know.
That's where I was.
It's crazy.
I was going to avoid that, but thanks.
Yeah, so, anyway, I'll talk to Sean about that during the break. I don't know. Whenever I get some time off. never. Probably never. All right, let's talk to Alex. Alex?
It's Alexis. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
You're 18. What's up?
Okay, well, my fiancé has been with 55 people.
Hmm.
And I've been with 64 people.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm 18, and, like, we've, like, found that we have, like, this really weird obsession with people. Like, we'll sit and, like, be on date lines and just, like, invite people over, just, like, see how people are and, like, how they act and, like, how they dress. It's weird. And we don't know what it is. We just, like, can't help it.
Well, then you blow them at a certain point, right?
Well,
I mean, you're not writing a paper. You're banging your way across the country.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you need to be a hair... What was that? You stinking whore.
Oh, please. Is that all 65 guys you slept with?
Yeah.
64.
I beg your pardon.
How dare you?
No, it's not over yet.
You're not a slutty.
See? Yeah. Sean's got a good point.
True.
Alexis, so you're obsessed, you're sort of sexually compulsive, right? Both of you. Maybe sexually addicted. And what is it you hope to gain by meeting these people?
I don't know. It's like we get this weird thrill out of, like, just...
All right. So this is thrill-seeking behavior. Are you doing any drugs?
Well, I drink a lot.
Okay. And so you have alcoholism in your family?
Way back.
When did you lose your virginity? At 9?
13.
13.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on a pretty good clip there.
Yeah.
And you... Well, you see... A chick can do this, but how'd your goofy boyfriend get laid? Is he paying
cute.
For this?
No.
He's what?
He's cute.
Oh, no.
No, Eddie's cute. He doesn't get any.
Not at all.
I mean, really, who is he? He must just be banging some heinous cows, right?
No, but a lot of them are really cute.
No way.
Yes,
No way. 37 through 50 were not cute. I saw them on the internet.
I never saw them all, but, you know.
Okay. And that doesn't bother you at all to know that?
No, she's 9 ahead.
I know. But you can still be bothered by it.
It bothers me, but, you know, I've done the same thing. So.
He's doing drugs, too?
Yeah, same as me.
All right. Well, this is symptomatic of sexual addiction, sexual compulsivity. Were either of you abused when you were growing up sexually?
No. Mm-mm.
And were you abused growing up?
No.
Wait.
Hold on.
Adam, were you abused growing up?
No. No.
No. Yeah. Well, what was the delay about, Alexis?
Well, I was just, like, thinking, I mean, like, the way I lost my virginity wasn't, like, the greatest way, but, you know.
Wait, was the guy 19 or 20?
Yeah, so.
So there you were raped when you were 13, basically. Or at least it was a form of sexual abuse. We'd expect to still something happen a little before that.
No. Uh-uh.
All right. Be that as it may, you really are into a syndrome of sexual addiction, sexual compulsivity. If you truly want to do something about this, you should.
Uh-huh.
Because this is going to progress. There's going to be riskier behaviors. There's going to be more intense drug use. This is a progressive problem.
Uh-huh.
And then you're sort of fitting a classic pattern for that.
Yeah. It's like we just can't help it. Like, we'll spend our whole day on Dateline.
I understand you can't help it, but that's what addiction is.
Are you having sex with these people?
Depends on what they look like.
You know, I'm giving a talk tomorrow on the internet and sexual compulsion, in fact. And
no one's going to listen to that.
No one you're interested in.
Not
on for a physician. No, but listen. The guy I'm giving the talk with says, he had a nice aphorism. He says, you know, for people who are sexual addicts, the internet is cocaine. It's crap.
Oh, yeah.
Crap.
Yeah, I could imagine. It's just a window into hell.
As long as all she's doing is having sex, and it's safe sex, and it doesn't get worse than that. I mean,
it will. It just will. That's the thing. And that's the nature of this condition.
Right.
And so she can wait until, you know, until something really starts to happen. That may motivate her to do something, or she can do something now.
Alexis?
Yeah?
Yeah, first off, don't get pregnant. Don't let this guy get you pregnant.
The pregnant.
Okay.
Is that where you get pregnant by two people simultaneously? The pregnant.
That's French. That's French. The pregnant.
No, that's le pregnant. This is Italian.
Lay pregnant.
Le pregnant.
Yeah.
All right, Alexis, just to put a bungee cord around your knees or something, would you?
No, okay. Listen, Alexis, you ought to see someone about this, and if you want to go check out SA meeting.
64 guys, she's seen about it.
AA meeting, a 12-step process would be great for you if you're willing to do it.
Oh. All right. As a woman, you could do it if you want. I mean, if you want to act out, you can just act out every night with a new guy. I mean, if you do the math, you know, she lost her virginity 5 years ago, maybe 5.5 years ago. She was 13 at that time. She's basically been with a guy a month.
Yeah. Imagine if you could do that. Where would you be?
Well, first off, one a month doesn't even sound like that much as a single person. It does start to add up.
If you as a guy could act out like that, it doesn't sound like much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you could have gotten away with that in high school as a guy, you would have gladly done it. And if you'd gotten, you know, if it was the kind of thing where every time you were feeling depressed or your self-esteem was low or you felt like acting out or you were a little bit loaded and you wanted to make a phone call, you could get a little comforting, get a little fix up. You'd be doing it nonstop.
It's interesting. I was with a group of teenagers talking a couple weeks ago, and they were discussing why a girl of 15 would have sex with lots of guys, and all the girls in the audience chimed in. Well, she needs validation. She's looking for a love relationship. And I go, oh, hold on a second, guys. If you were 15 and you were able to do this, why would you do it? The men in the audience universally.
It's fun.
No, it feels good.
Cool.
And that's it. At which point, the women cringed. But that's it.
True.
That's why a guy would do it.
All right, Andrew, don't do this. You know those internet chats. All they do is they don't believe it's you. It's every third question. This isn't really Drew. This is not really you, and that's it. And then the rest of the question is, where's Adam? And when I do mine, it's where's Drew? This isn't really you, where's Drew? This isn't really you, where's Drew? And then an hour later, you walk away and you go, why did I do that? why did I do that? Gina.
Hi.
Hey.
I have a little problem. I only seem to attract married men.
Mm.
Or at the very least, men in serious committed relationships.
Where do you meet these guys?
Through friends, at bars, you know, just out and about. I've met a couple at work. And it's just...
Well, do you know these guys are married before you meet them?
No, it comes up in conversation or they're wearing rings.
And so why don't you sort of cut things off right then? Why do you continue to pursue the relationship?
Oh, but I don't.
As soon as you find out they're married, you sort of wrap things up and yet they pursue you right then?
Yes.
Well, how can they? I mean, you're sitting at a bar, you're staring at the guy's wedding band, and you would get up and excuse yourself. Does he tackle you?
No, but, you know, let's take, for example, my favorite bar. It's a rather small place, and it gets awfully crowded, and they will just keep finding ways to run into me.
Well, so what? You just what are you saying?
My question, I suppose, is, you know, is there something that I'm putting out there that...
No, it's what you're not doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
These guys are a-holes, they're fishing around, but if you don't cut them off, they'll keep coming around.
Plus, you must be throwing them a crumb here and there.
Yeah, you have to be.
Yeah. How's your self-esteem? You a big gal?
No.
Right. You're fat.
Drew, please. Please. I say big. That's my euphemism.
No, I am not a big girl.
Like in England, like the roads.
Yeah. Self-esteem is way up there.
You feel good about yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you just find yourself a single guy?
This feels to me like the girl last night, remember, who kept taking the boyfriends away from her girlfriends.
I don't listen to the call.
I know, but this is that kind of feeling. Like you need that, right. You need that validation of someone else's.
Yeah.
So that suggests your self-esteem is sort of falsely inflated, perhaps.
Big?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's what I'm getting. I'm getting maybe you don't feel as, I don't know, as confident or as good. I mean, as you think you do.
Yeah.
And then that goes for all of you. However any of you feel, you're S.
She's playing video games.
Is that what that is? I'm sitting here going, what the
hell? I'm sorry, my cell phone is ringing in the background.
Oh, okay.
They're not there, you're on the radio.
That's one of those.
They're calling to check to see if this is her.
You're on the radio right now?
That's one of those married guys.
No. Okay. Unacceptable.
So, listen, Gina.
Uh-huh.
All right, I wouldn't dwell on this.
All right.
I don't think it's an issue unless you make it an issue.
You need to cut these guys off and feel whatever it is that you feel when you do that. And if you start feeling like you missed that or you hurt their feelings, just examine your own feelings when you cut these guys off. It'll let you know why you don't do it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women having uncontrollable sex tonight.
Yeah.
A lot of girls can't help themselves.
I think Gina was flattered by these guys and just kind of wanted to share the news.
Isn't there a thing of you can play with a married man and you know that you can walk away and say, well, look, you're married. You know, this, you can have all the fun you want, and then when you want to call it a day, you can walk away.
Yeah, women like flirtation. It's a mess.
In danger.
It's a mess.
Well, I mean, it's like, guys, we're hungry. We don't want to sit and look at pictures of food and play with them. Here's some food you can play. No, don't put it in your mouth. It's like, this sucks. It's worse now. Now I'm more irritable. I'm more hungry. Now I'm hungry and angry. Girls are like, ooh, look at that picture of that cheeseburger. Look at that. I'm going to draw one. Whee! What's in it for them? Look, I bet that cheeseburger wants me to eat it.
And
come on, let's go.
Help.
What kind of thinking is that?
We need a female perspective. Anne, please.
No.
Chime in here, please.
She's
whatever.
Around. Aaron?
Yes,
sir. She's not a female. She's a mom.
What's going on, man?
What's
Aaron?
Up, Aaron?
Yes.
You're 18.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I'm having a hard time finding a girlfriend or any friends at all, really. Past history, I was at a kind of like a boys' home for the last 3 years. Well, last 2 years.
Like,
and
like a foster home?
Well, kind of, yeah. A rehabilitation center.
For what kind of problem?
Because I had sexually abused my sister and my brother. My sisters and my brother.
When they were how old?
My sisters were 5, and my brother was a little bit older than that.
All right. Here you go.
How old were you when you did this?
I was like 13 or 14.
Oh, okay.
And then I went into the place when I was late 15 and then got out right when I turned 18.
Did it help you?
Yeah, it did, and actually tremendously.
All right.
Didn't you get some friends from that whole experience?
Yeah, but that's down in Waco, and I'm up north of Dallas. Mm. And so that's, I learned how to make friends. And
all right.
It's not a problem, it's just, it seems, I don't know, it's really hard. And
did somebody sexually abuse you?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course.
My uncle did.
Well, I just want to ask.
Of course.
Yeah.
Where's your uncle now?
He's out there in California, so if you see him, will you kill him for me, please?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. When I'm driving, I'll just assume all pedestrians may potentially be your uncle.
Okay.
Even the ladies.
Okay.
And I'll go right for him.
10 points for the men.
You figure eventually I'll get to him.
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah. Odds are not on his side. I do a lot of driving out here.
All right.
Did this guy ever get prosecuted?
No. We can't really prove it. It was when I was like 2 and a half.
Your behavior proof.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's funny. You here's the, all the proof you need to know is you went at your sisters and your brother, and that stuff usually doesn't come from nowhere. Whose brother was this?
Oh, whose brother? Oh, he's my dad's brother.
Dad's brother.
And we don't have any contact with him. And I've sworn to myself that if I see him, I'm going to kick his ass.
And what about your dad? What does he think? Does he believe you?
You know what? I'm really not sure. I have a hard time talking about like sexual things with my dad.
But I can understand.
But is your dad aware that your brother was the perpetrator? His brother was the perpetrator.
Yes.
All right.
Oh my God. I mean, it's like my sister. She borrowed a hand truck, a dolly, for me. I'm pissed off. You know, I haven't gotten it back yet. I mean,
when you sexually abuse her kids.
Oh, she's going to be livid. Yeah. But I'm going to be like, hey, you should have returned the dolly, hotshot. Now you get what you get.
Aaron, what is it you need from us tonight?
Pardon me?
What can we do to help you?
I'm just, like, looking for suggestions to, you know, find friends and stuff.
You know what? I was actually thinking about this tonight. We often just sort of toss out, go to clubs, not clubs, I mean, join common interest groups, hobby groups, that kind of
thing. Drew tells me off the air you have to buy your friends.
And I thought, I heard tonight that a radio station was looking for volunteers to help out with sort of manning the phones. I mean, you can volunteer for things that you feel strongly about. You'll meet people, you'll share common interests and common goals. And you need to look for things that you can go that you'll enjoy doing and that will make you feel good about contributing. And you'll find people with a similar bent and people you'll bond up with and meet and build a group of friends.
Yeah, I joined a fitness club today, and so
self-esteem. Look for some sort of giving back work, volunteer work. You'll meet.
Yeah, all right.
People.
Yeah, and keep the molestation stuff under your hat for the third day.
I don't wear that on my sleeve too much.
Yeah. Hey, and listen, this whole, people have this thing where, friendship or relationships is about coming clean. I don't think so. I think if you had a problem and you solved that problem and there's no threat of that problem anymore, whether you were a junkie or a pedophile, you just, that's part of the reward for solving the problem. You don't have to rent out billboard space to explain to everyone where you've been and what you've done. I remember when I blew my uncle in high school. It was one of the worst days of my life. Yeah. Swore he'd pull out. Now I'm in therapy. Son of a bitch. Yeah, I have fairly young nephews, 2 and 4, and just from doing the show and just maybe growing up in the valley, I just thought that uncle molesting uncle was almost, it's a little bit of a cliche, but it was like it's just something you do.
The valley tradition.
Yes, yeah, it says it on the sign. Welcome to North Hollywood, a tradition rich in molestation. And there's a statue of Amelia Earhart near there. I don't know why, but there's a lot of Amelia Earhart statues in North Hollywood. But anyway, the point is now that I have nephews, I couldn't imagine touching them. I mean, it's like it's unthinkable, and I'm an atheist. And I'll do stuff if I think I can get away with it. It's beyond the realm of reality.
But aren't you more exempt because you're atheist? Doesn't that make you a better candidate for being straight? I mean, most people nowadays seem to use religion as some form of shield or smokescreen because they're, I'm not saying that everyone, because I'm just myself, but it's really bad.
To cover for some heinous impulse.
A lot of people have these problems or these urges, and they immediately get themselves looking after scouts or boy groups or girl groups or whatever, and it's, they're kind of seen as the pillars of the community until one day it's, they molested 17 kids on a bus, and...
Oh, I'm with Sean all the way here. People, there's a... I know we're running late for break, but... Oh, what the hell. I gotta do the show every night. Let's just talk here. Yeah, I love my nephews.
No, I'm in love with him.
No, I mean, I really love him. I like to have sex with him. You missed my point. Okay, here's my secondary point. I listen to a little talk radio during the day, and I listen to oftentimes a guy named Dennis Prager, who's very good. big behemoth Jew guy who's on some, I don't know what station he's on, but anyway, he's good. I like the guy, and he makes some real good points, and he's he loves religion, and his thing is if you're walking down a dark alley, what do you want, 10 atheists coming at you, or 10 Christians coming at you? And
depends what century.
Well, that's a good point. It depends what you are. You could be black, you could be a Jew, you could be S out of luck. But his thing is, and of course he always makes the point where he says, 10 guys who just left a prayer meeting, or 10 guys wearing baggy pants and their hats on backwards and that kind of thing. And of course everyone says, okay, I'd rather have the 10 guys who are leaving the prayer meeting if I'm walking down a dark alley. But here's the question I'd like to pose to Dennis Prager. In prison, what percentage of people are atheists for violent crimes? Not the guy who's dealing the peyote tabs at the Grateful Dead concert. Violent criminals incarcerated. Death row, if you want to choose
that. How many are actually talking to God?
More than 50% atheists? I don't think
so. But a lot of them find God once they know that certain death is imminent.
I'm with you on that, but I would bet you the majority of them going in were raised with some kind of religion in their family and had a belief in God while they were murdering these people. And I bet it's way less than 10% violent criminals, atheists behind bars. So, you do your math.
We'll be right back.
We'll take a little break. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
You all right? Eddie and Sean are both here from Off Center, WB Sunday nights. 9 o'clock. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there.
That's nice.
Diane Farr is coming on the show. She's our old co-host from Love Line, the TV show. She's currently on the job, the Dennis Leary show. So she's on tomorrow night, yes?
Yes.
And I talked to, still trying to work it out with Ethan from Survivor. Got a call put in, and anyway, it looks pretty good for either Wednesday or Thursday. Eddie K. Thomas and Sean McGuire both here from Off Center. Sunday nights, 9 o'clock, WWWWWB. And if you got that TiVo, you can TiVo it. Well, TiVo, how does TiVo's work in the Nielsen's?
You know, the ratings. I don't know. I think record, because it has to go to that channel.
Yeah.
So it probably.
So if you had registered. If you had Nielsen box.
No, the overnight. So they have some way of monitoring these things.
They do.
Yeah.
They can monitor it.
Don't you plug it into a phone line every night?
Yeah.
It's
always.
See, because I'm convinced there's 2,000 Nielsen boxes. That's it.
For
100 million people watching TV or whatever.
Yeah.
So now that a lot of people are plugging their phones in, or their TVs into the phone lines.
Right.
Big Brother's watching.
I thought there was some monitoring going on.
You're plugging in and saying, all right, corporate America, this is what I'm looking at every night.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. Is it the Nielsen is, I think that's the only way they get the ratings.
Really? I didn't realize. So
I know.
Who cares?
We care.
Who cares about anything we talk about, by the way?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Who cares about your who cares drop? That's the real question, Anderson.
Jenny, 16.
Hello.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I have this problem. Like, I don't really know if it's like a problem, but the only way I can get pleasure is by playing with my breasts.
You only can get pleasure. What does that mean exactly?
Like when me and my boyfriend are like having sex, right?
Hmm.
Like, I don't know. I just have to like play with my breasts, and like he gets mad at me for it, cause like.
Sure.
It, like, arouses me.
Yeah. No, I know when some bitch starts touching her breast while I'm banging her, I go nuts, man. I mean, it's
an
ultimate sign of disrespect. I don't go for that. I mean, a Rubik's Cube, whatever, Etch-a-Sketch, but touching your breast while I'm trying to have sex with you, I can see this kid's point. I'd be irate. I'd be livid. I can't believe you guys are still together.
Well, yeah, it's causing, like, a lot of problems.
Sure, sure.
He thinks it's, like, him. Like, he thinks he's not doing something right. And I don't know if maybe that's the truth, but...
Well, if you... have you had an orgasm with him?
Yeah.
And you wouldn't...
Because I was touching my breast, though.
Right, but he was having sex with you at the time, right?
Yeah.
So, what if he wasn't having sex with you at the time? Would you have had the orgasm?
Probably. Oof. I mean, he doesn't help me much.
Nope.
Wait, how much of that does he know?
I don't know. I tell him that, like,
yeah.
The most pleasure I get is when I touch myself.
Okay. I mean, is a way of telling him that's why you're doing it, or is a way of letting him know that he's not contributing?
Well, like, when when we're having sex and I start touching my breasts, he'll be like, what? What's wrong? Am I not, like, pleasuring you enough?
Oh, boy. How old is your boyfriend?
18.
Oh, boy.
And here's the part. See, here's the mistake you made, Jenny.
Talking to your boyfriend.
The mistake you made was telling him that...
anything.
Yeah, you know, his penis was like a Novocaine syringe. You could feel nothing below your waist, and you had to kickstart yourself by manipulating your own breasts. If you just shut up about it, you could have grabbed the breasts and said, you know, you get me so hot, I don't know what to do with my hands, and he'd think it was all him.
See how pathetic guys are? You got to think... lame.
Think ego.
Yeah, right. Think lame, think pathetic, and you'll get the right answer.
But what, I kind of question Jenny a little bit here. Like, what's up? Are you a little bit angry at him?
I don't know.
What'd he do? Did he cheat on you?
I don't think so, not that I know.
But this relationship really isn't working very well.
But
anyway.
You don't like him.
Yeah,
no, I do. I really like him. That's why it's a problem.
Well, then I said, look, are you a little bit angry at him? And you went, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why might you be angry at him?
I don't know. Like, I'm kind of confused.
All right, who cares? She's lost.
Hey, she admitted she's confused. She's confused that.
I'm confused, too.
I know. Well, that's what she's making us feel. But
good. What are you going to do?
Let's hear what she's confused about.
I'm confused. I can't figure out the phones now.
Let's hear what she's confused about.
No. I'm tired of dragging everybody by the hand through the calls. You don't want to talk? Good. Don't talk. Fine.
She's confused.
Good, you're confused.
Oh, let's just hear what she's confused about.
No, you can be good.
Everyone was curious.
Good, she hung up. Go be confused.
Roger.
Shut up, everyone. Talk. Spend the rest of your life being confused. Jerry?
You're
a bitch. Who cares?
You're a bitch.
No, I'm tired of dragging people around. Please tell me. Please. I know you're 16 and you're confused. Please, please, please. I'll ask you the same question 8 times. Please. No, screw you. Just hang up.
Jerry, what do you want?
Don't waste my time.
Jerry?
Yeah, yes.
You better get to it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm 21 years of age.
Oh, crap. I've heard enough. Not another one of you.
What do you mean?
Jerry, what's up?
Okay, I'm 21 years of age, right? I have a girlfriend. I've been with her for a week. Basically, she wants me to blow job. But I'm scared because of everything HIV and any disease that come with sex.
Well, she's the one that needs to be worried about HIV, right?
I guess so.
Okay.
That's all right. Let her blow you.
But can I get any disease?
Does she have a disease?
Not that I know of.
All right.
How long, you've only known her for a week?
A week, yes.
Does she have any risk factors for disease?
Not that I know of.
Okay, you let her give you a BJ, and you give her the HIV. That's the way.
So,
what about you? What about wearing a condom?
She doesn't want to wear a condom. She wants to skin free.
Oh, man, that's rough. I know it.
You poor bugger.
Yeah, I know what it's like. You know, when a chick's begging to blow you, and you're like, I don't know, let me think about it. And she's like, I need an answer. And you're like, Jesus, I'm confused. Stop pressuring me.
Let me call the radio.
I'm scared. You go, well, hold on. No, yeah, where you go, slow down. Just slow down.
Can't we take it slow? Can't we just talk?
Yeah, whatever happened to dinner, by the way. And so now it's like, okay, but only with a condom. And she's like, no, that's distracting. And now you're like, oh, my God. She's an animal. What line is this guy?
2.
Hey, Jerry?
Yes.
Yeah, that's... And then once the word gets out that anyone can blow you without a condom, then there's going to be a line around the block from your apartment. You're going to have all sorts of supermodels and bikini models and actresses and, you know, everybody. Everybody. Yeah. All the young... You know, every 18-year-old in North America is going to want line up to give Jerry a BJ.
Yay!
Yeah. Then you're out of luck. Yeah. Yeah, I would be.
It sounds like you need to know your partner better. And if you knew her well enough, it wouldn't be, gee, I don't know if she has risk factors. You'd know whether or not she was a reasonable risk.
Like, it's not like she has any blisters on her or anything in her mouth or anything, but, you know, it's basically a worry because she's still growing up, you know?
Yeah, but you know what?
You're 21.
Yeah, well, you know, I still have life ahead of me, you know?
Right. Aye!
Right. She does she do IV drugs?
Excuse me?
Does she shoot drugs?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty positive.
He's only known her a week.
I was gonna say, you barely know her name. You should know her better. You shouldn't be answering questions. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure you'll feel better when you get to know her more.
Does she have a tattoo on her neck?
No.
Is her name Angel?
No, not
that. Isn't the tattoo above the butt a problem too?
Any tats?
No, no tat.
No small the back tat and
none.
Not named Cammy or Tammy.
None.
Brandy.
Brandy.
Nope.
Okay. What is her name, by the way?
Her name is Brenda.
All right, that's fine. No. Well, that's close, but that's fine. But listen, you draw the line at her massaging her balls while she's blowing you, okay?
Well,
you put your foot down. You put your foot down. As like I said, word'll get out that you're easy, and then you're in for a world of hurt. Cat calls when you're walking down the street, can't pass a construction site without the chicks screaming at you. Phone calls, booty calls, late nights. Then the word gets out. You go on a date with another girl. She wants to give you a BJ before dinner. You see what I'm saying? Because the word has gotten out.
You got out of here.
Boy, this Jerry, I like this kid's sensibilities.
I want to hear the Adam Boogie now that we're on a roll. Yes.
We're running late.
Yeah, it's all right. You can play it.
No, no. We'll play it during the commercial so only we can enjoy it.
We'll be right back.
Right. Yeah, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back. We're trying to get back on time here.
Right.
Eddie K. Thomas and Sean McGuire both here from Off Center, which is on the WB Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Bye.
Hi, this is Jamie Kennedy, and you're listening to Love Line with Ace Rockola and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Ace Rockola, and that's Dr. Drew over there. Eddie K. Thomas and Sean McGuire are both here. They are from Off Center, which is on the WB. Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. Drew? Drew does great radio. He does. He has two moves. He has a and then he has the one where he likes to point at stuff and refer to it on the air without actually ever explaining what it is he's pointing to.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's get back to them.
You'd
phones.
Miss it if I did otherwise.
Yeah. I'm cranky tonight.
God, that was quick attitude.
I got up at very early and drove to Mount.
Oh, how was that? Well, what time? We had a $10 bet over under at 10:15. Remember?
Oh yeah. Oh, geez, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I owe you some money, buddy. Yeah. Well, here's what happened. I've been doing that Son of the Beach show on that Howard Stern show on FX, and they've been very nice, but I've done it three or four days so far. First day I showed up at, call time was noon. I went on, got in front of the camera at 4:15 or 4:20. The next time I showed up, I think the call time was about 10 a.m. and I got in front of the camera about 12:30. So this time the call time was 8:15 a.m. So Big A did his own math this morning. And when I showed up, everyone was pissed.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
But you get there at 9:30?
No, I got there at 9:15. I got there 1 hour late. And where were you? And we missed the shot. And we had to, you know, pick up some other shots in order to make up for it. It's mostly BS, as we know. Anyone
so you don't
TV.
Like getting paid for sitting on the beach all
right.
You don't, you're not a fan of that.
Well, the first, see, today was Malibu, but the first two were just some crappy right. place where I just sat in my trailer and sucked up fumes from the generator, basically. So, anyway, I showed up late, and of course it went early, and then when I go on Wednesday, here's what's gonna happen. They'll give me a slightly earlier call time because I showed up late for the last one, and I'll go on even later. So I will have completely screwed everything and miscalculated and mistimed everything. From now on, I show up an hour late to the first one.
Uh-huh.
So I owe Drew money because anyway. All right. So it was nice. It's a great commute, by the way, at 5:30 in the afternoon from deep Malibu to the Hollywood Hills.
Hour and a half.
It is a great commute.
It's got to be an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was an hour and a half.
Oh.
Hour and a half.
Thank God for radio.
And let me just scream one more quick thing regarding this because I'm tired. What is it with folks that refuse to give the cross street. Do you know what I mean?
For what?
Like, they'll do this. They'll go, you go, where's this birthday party? And they'll go, it's at 27201 Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah.
And you'll go, is that in Canoga Park or is that in Studio City? I have no idea where that is. How about just the effing cross street? Please.
No. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
So here were my directions today. It's on PCH.
Uh-oh.
On PCH, it's, you know, 2300 PCH.
Pacific Coast Highway.
By the way, means, yes, Pacific Coast Highway, which goes on, which starts
San Diego.
In Oregon and ends in San Diego. Okay? So, what's the cross street? What's the cross street? The cross street, if you go past
Sunset. They always start with that. I love that.
No, see, Drew, you're thinking like a human being.
Sunset's the only one they ever give. It could be 20 miles past Sunset.
No, here's the street they use. If you're going by Cross Creek Road, you've gone too far. Now, here's my point.
Why don't you tell me the one before?
Don't want to come up with A, what? Yeah, A, tell me the one before. Don't tell me the one across.
Yeah, you've gone past it, mate. You've gone straight past it.
B, Johnny Carson has lived in Malibu for 40 years. I guarantee he couldn't tell you where Cross Creek goddamn road is. You don't want to pick Sunset. You don't want to pick Topanga Canyon. You don't want to pick Las Virgenes. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
You don't want to pick Pepperdine University. You don't want to pick a landmark. You're going to pick a small street that ends on PCH that I've never heard of. So when you're driving there, where do you go? You're going to take Sunset. You're going to take the 405. You're going to take Topanga. How are you going to get there? Where's Cross Creek Road? Why not give a road anyone's heard of? Oh, man, I got there. I said, I guarantee nobody has heard of this Cross Creek Road. But yet, they're desperate for you to be there. Now, how do you figure that? How can you be desperate and give you crappy directions? Let's heal some babies! Okay, but why pick a side street? Thank you.
Mixed messages. I agree.
Right.
On we go. Evan is 19. Here we go. Okay, just a minute.
You're not liking
minute.
This.
We have 1 minute to take a call here.
All right.
Evan.
Sorry.
Let's save the baby.
Cross Creek Road.
What's up, Evan? Evan?
Hello?
Do you know where Cross Creek Road is?
Okay. Nope, I have no idea.
Look, nobody does.
All right, what's up?
I don't know.
All right.
Bob Cross Creek, the guy the road was named after?
Oh, that's...
Never heard of it himself.
All right, Evan, go.
Okay, well, the other day after having sex with my girlfriend, I gave her oral sex, and right afterwards, there was this, from her vagina, it came, the sound, it sounded like a fart, and for lack of a better word, I just called it a vajart.
Ooh, that's very good.
That is brilliant.
Vajart.
I'm taking that home with me.
Thank you.
You'd be the king of England with that vajart.
She was vajarting everywhere. It was a party.
Very funny.
Later on, we play in that tune.
Vajart, it also sounds like an instrument a guy could play in like a country band.
From Hungary. I'm from Hungary, I play the vajart.
I play the mandolin, I play the balalaika, I play the vajart. All right, so Evan, yes.
Basically using the actual, what's the actual name for that phenomenon, I guess?
It's now Vajart. It's called Evan's Vajart.
Webster's, it's already in Webster's.
And I was also wondering, is a penis able to do that?
Yes, penises do that commonly.
Oh, really?
The piston effect. In fact, we don't really quite know how you did it with your mouth without blowing something in.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He says he did it with oral sex.
Oh, no, it was right afterwards. Like, it was, like, afterwards, like, a few seconds after it just went.
After oral sex?
Yeah.
I'm going to hazard
a Yeah, it's called a penart with a, when my penis does it. But it's no vajart.
Okay,
that's right. Fine.
Okay, no problem or anything, just...
No, it's normal.
No.
Okay. It's a common thing.
England, girls explode after they make that noise, so I'd be awfully careful with her. Normally you hear that noise about an hour afterwards.
Boom. All right, Drew, you want to take another call here?
Nah, let's go to break. Hey, come on.
Really?
Vajart, how much better is getting that?
You can't top Vajart. That's true. All right, Eddie and Sean are both here from Off Center. WB, Sunday nights, 9 o'clock. We'll take ourselves a little break. I'm going to hop on in and tell you Vajarts
for mercy.
For mercy. And we'll be back. Hello, it is Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Eddie K. Thomas is on tonight. You know him from the American Pie movies. Sean McGuire is also here from Off Center, which is on at 9 o'clock on the WB. And you guys could probably work Vajard into an episode.
Done.
It's already probably being written as we speak.
I think us and everyone listening has brought it into their lives permanently. It's beautiful.
It's part of the American lexicon now. Vajard. All right. Ready to get back to the phones and speak to Lauren, who's apparently a male, actually.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm first time caller.
You're gay.
Oh, Drew, please. Yes.
What's up, Lauren?
My friend is like addicted to OxyContin, I think. He was in a car accident like a month ago, and he broke his leg and his back got all messed up. I don't really know exactly what happened. And he's taking OxyContin for a while, and his doc told him to take it for like a few weeks, and the pain should dissipate. And it's been like a month, and he's still like taking it like as he has. He did the first time, the first week or so.
How old is he?
He's my age. He's like 15.
Hmm. It doesn't necessarily mean he's addicted. He's had real injury. He may have real need for opiate pain medication.
Okay.
He's not escalating. He's not abusing it. He's not. It's not getting momentum behind it. Mm-hmm. You should be concerned that he's been on as long as he had because he's likely to be dependent on it. That is to say, he'll get some withdrawal if he stops. Interestingly, though, 14, 15, 16-year-olds tend not to get much withdrawal from opiates.
Mm-hmm. He's trying, like, stopping, but then he'd get, like, really sick. And he said he got, like, fevers and he feel like...
Yeah, it feels like crap when he tries to stop. All right, but listen, I haven't talked to his doctor about exactly that. Again, just because he's dependent doesn't mean he's addicted. It means he has a little bit of withdrawal, and that could be easily treated.
Is this a relatively new thing?
OxyContin?
It's getting pretty popular with the kids these days.
Yeah. The concept of giving pain meds to younger people. I don't...
Well, until you broke their leg and back, they'd get pain meds. But there is a movement definitely towards use of more pain medication. There's sort of this...
It was frowned on for a while.
There's this idea that somehow we're withholding pain medicine, or because some people become addicted, other people are suffering. And the reality is, physicians need to be more discriminating in how they apply these medications. And with situations where there's no risk, use it freely. When there's a risk for addiction... Don't use it.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Except sparingly.
I know morphine was getting a pretty bad rap for a while there. But it's like, hey, if you're dying of pancreatic cancer, how about just juicing the guy up?
That's what we do.
But, you know, I was, I never thought about this before, but I had a serious injury when I was young. I was like 12, maybe 13, and my shoulder was out of socket and broken for days on end and all that. And I didn't get any
I had a bad knee injury. I remember it was excruciating. No one even suggested pain, but never even thought about it.
What I'm saying is 20 years ago, the concept of giving pain meds to young people, even with fairly severe injuries, maybe not burns or something, but broken bones, didn't seem to be a concept.
I think you're right. I wasn't practicing then, but I think so.
I mean, you busted up your knee. You didn't get anything.
No, it wasn't even suggested.
My shoulder was out of its socket for 4 days. I was in excruciating pain and never thing. Nothing. I was taking I had to pee in a mayonnaise jar because I couldn't move. Speaking of peeing at something.
Uh-oh.
Boy, I had a humiliating experience today when I got home from this son of the beach. I'd urinated in an ice bucket at my house.
Why?
I'm ashamed to say why, but I was jumping rope in my living room.
Yeah.
And I just had to take a leak.
You couldn't walk the extra 8 steps to your bathroom?
Well, first off, hot shot's about 12 steps.
Okay.
Not 8 steps. And part of being part of the complete bachelor lifestyle is doing things. I like to live like my parents are gone for the weekend.
It's more like you're like an unpotty trained dog. You like took a crap in the middle of the living room. Hey!
I did it because I can.
I did take a crap in the garage a few months back, but that's because I just couldn't
go up the 12 stairs.
I couldn't make it up the stairs. Okay. But the point is.
You did this too, didn't you?
Which one?
It's crap in the garage. Yeah, I did do that. Oh, humanity.
But here's the point. The point is I like to do those things that say, hey, I've arrived.
Here I am. Smell my urine.
This is mine.
I got a nice pad up here in the hills, and I'm urinating in my own ice bucket. And I took a leak in this ice bucket.
And left it.
And I set it back down on the bar, and I didn't think anything about it. And maybe 4 or 5 days. Maybe 3 or 4 days went by, and I didn't think about it. And then I was driving home, and I thought, you know what? I think today's the day the maid comes, I was thinking. And I always always scan my mind. What did I leave out? What form of pornography or filth did I leave out? What is she having to sort through?
What shaming,
telling piece of evidence did she stumble across? And I walked in the kitchen.
This is not like porn in the VCR. This is urine on the bar.
No, you can't really. You understand. I walked into the kitchen, and there was the ice bucket filled with sudsy water sitting on the counter. I thought a book by her, I would imagine.
It's like one of those murder books, you know, with the pictures of the murder victims and things.
Just take you through the atrocities.
1 month in Adam's house. Oh yeah.
So I thought, do I broach this with her?
No.
Do I come up with some cockamamie story about some Mike's Hard Lemonade getting dumped in there?
We'll never believe what happened.
Yeah, or, geez, I just rolled back into town. My buddy Ray was staying here. Hope everything's cool. Do I broach it, or do I just keep moving and pretend like nothing happened?
Think how many other sordid experiences she's accumulated without you commenting.
Right.
Why break the silence now?
She must have thought the urine in the ice bucket. She probably couldn't make sense of it. I mean,
like, again, how many other things must there have been?
I'm wondering if she knew she broke
your towels over her knee.
Maybe you're secretly doing it to impress her, though. That's what you've got
to do. You do have to ask yourself
that. Is there something
that
you're not being honest with about yourself?
You have to ask yourself. Yes, you have
to. There's no one to reprimand you anymore, and you're just trying to push the boundaries a little bit.
You have to ask. You have to ask.
What it means?
What it means, yes, on a deeper level. The point, anyway. The point is, a dirty job for her. I just kept it moving. I kept it rolling.
What does it mean that she maintains her employ with you? That's a more serious question.
Yeah.
Then again, she may be building a case.
Right. I no longer give her, you know, a Christmas bonus. It's more hush money. is what I call it.
Then again, she could have a direct line to the Inquirer.
So the point is do I? I don't say anything at this point, right?
No.
I don't try to backtrack and clean it up somehow. Give her. Okay, you're right. When I saw that ice bucket sitting with the suds in it, the first thought was, why is she cleaning? And then it went to, oh, Christ.
Oh, here's the deal. Sean thinks you're kidding.
You don't think I'm kidding, do you?
No. The worrying thing is I really don't.
No, you can't make that up.
No, you can't. You really can't.
Claire? Claire, you sleeping?
Yeah,
Adam's
hello?
There you are.
Oh, hi, sorry.
You're 14.
Yeah. First of all, I love Off Center, and it's a great show, and I love Loveline, of course. And it really interests me that Eddie, you went from, like, doing the American Pie thing and then now a TV show, and I find that cool. But anyway, I'm calling because I'm 14, and I'm really interested in guys that are a lot older than me. And if I had a choice, I would definitely go with an older guy rather than someone more around my age.
Well, that's sort of normal for 14-year-olds, but that's an impulse worthy of containment. Because the guy that would be, it's not that it's an unhealthy impulse on your part, it's just that if a 20 or 22-year-old were to respond to you, he's flawed. There's something wrong with him. Okay. And not there's anything wrong with you, but it's just not, an adult would normally not do that.
And how old are we talking about?
Well, starting from late teens to late 20s, really.
Mm. Late 20s.
Sort of normal.
Well, you know, there's another thing that I hadn't thought about. You know, we always talk about the female image of sensuality or sexuality, and they're always talking about these 18, 19-year-old models, 17-year-old models, and of course, guys, this is what becomes sensuality. But for the guys, it's like George Clooney and whoever the Pierce Brosnan or whatever. These are guys in their 40s or 50s sometimes. You know, when talking about the world's sexiest man. He's the average age of the world's sexiest, you know, sexiest guy by when people dubs him is probably 40.
Sean Connery,
yeah,
70.
He was like, wasn't it 70?
Yeah,
or 60.
Yeah, I mean, half these guys are in their 60s, and we're dubbing these guys the most sexiest men. So, as a young teenage girl, what are you supposed to look at?
Right.
And what are you supposed to think about?
Well, the thing is, though, like, I've thought about that a lot, and it's not even that I'm like.
Claire?
Yeah?
It's not even you're what?
Well, I mean, like, it's more than just, like, attraction.
Okay, where's your dad?
Asleep.
Okay.
Has he been not around a lot?
No, not at all.
He's good, and you've never acted on this?
I have, actually.
What's the oldest guy you've been with?
27.
Did you have sex with him?
No. He gave me a choice, and I didn't.
Give you a choice?
Yeah.
What was the choice?
Well, like
put your head here. I'm gonna kill you.
What?
That was the choice.
What was the choice?
Oh well, basically we were just like together, I guess. And while we were just doing stuff, he was like, "If you want to, like," well, he basically laid it out to me. Do you want to have sex?
This guy's an idiot. Asking a 14-year-old.
Sir Walter Raleigh? What a mature guy. Dick. He gave her a choice.
What an idiot.
Okay, so you said no.
Right.
But you had, what were you doing with him? Did you do other things with him?
Yeah, he went down on me and we just made out a lot.
He is a world-class dick.
Yeah.
You're pretty clever by the sounds
of it. No, but see, the thing is, it's not, well, I mean, this situation, like, totally seems like, oh, he's going after the victim or whatever, but it was kind of me more, like, coming on to him.
The reason those laws are in place are to protect you from these sorts of situations, because it's not good for you, even though you have these impulses. I understand that you initiate.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The role of the adult is to set a boundary.
Right, and a lot of people make excuses for people, which is, well, it was me who initiated it. But any sane 27-year-old adult would not go in with a 14-year-old, no matter what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he was high. Okay, so can you stop this? What broke it off with this guy?
Oh, well, actually, I went on a trip this summer because my friend invited me, and it's a college-age type trip. But her parents run it, so I went with them, and we like became good friends. And then one night, it just kind of happened.
Well, he was like a counselor or something.
No. He was like,
he's 27-year-old college student.
Well, he's getting like a PhD something or other. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's getting a PIG.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because he went to like, I don't know. He went to like a couple colleges.
All right, can you stop this then?
Well, with him, it's like all we do is email, and it's fine. We're just friends.
This guy. You will realize one day what a pig this guy is. What an ass he is.
Well, yes. The thing is, though, the guy was just an example and everything, but I feel more like at ease with older people in general.
Claire, we get your impulse. We don't have a problem with that. We have a problem with the guys you're finding to connect with, the fact that they're responding, and the fact that you're actually following through on these impulses.
Yeah. So don't do it.
I know.
Maybe we're not helping her, but I don't know what else to say than just stop it. Just trust us. We're smart. Drew's smart. And stop. And these guys, I don't know why. I know it's so easy to get angry at them, but the guy who gives them the choice.
Ugh.
Now, you see, he gives her the choice because if she says yes, then he can sleep with a clear
conscience.
Vindicated,
right.
Yeah, was her doing it.
As though a 14-year-old can render consent.
Well, just the fact that you're in a situation where you're asking the 14-year-old, you know, after I go down on the 14-year-old, doesn't your, at 14, don't most girls, their vagina has a retainer, right? I mean...
At least braces.
I mean, Jesus Christ. It's so pathetic. And he's in college and he's emailing her. You see, to me, I almost respect just a pure old fashioned pedophile. Just a guy just grabs a 14-year-old and drags her in the bushes, just rapes her and gets it over with, rather than Mr. Go Down and Email and It's Up to You kind of guy. This guy's even scarier for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not as scary as the individual of peas in an ice bucket. Sober. Sober.
Stone cold sober.
Jumping rope.
You sicken me.
Brant?
Yeah?
You're 17?
Yeah. First of all, can I give a shout out to my girlfriend?
No.
No, okay. Anyway, well, we had sex tonight about 3 hours ago.
You and your girlfriend?
Yeah.
All right, give her a shout. Was it good sex?
Yeah, hell right, yeah, it was.
Yeah, give her a shout out. No.
Felicia, what's up? This is Brant. I love you.
Did you get the F word in there, Anderson? We're having
nights of this.
Of people
blurting F and S into sentences under their breath.
Having a lot of difficulty not using the F and S word on the radio, and not to make a point, just in sort of, you know, casual conversation. They're not angry
under
anybody.
Their breath, always. Yeah, you know.
Right. Yeah, so I think there's some academic. Now we got to put him on. Put him on hold for a minute.
It didn't really sound like he had a problem. I mean, the guy got laid. I mean, he should just be chilling. And
right. He got laid.
Maybe a pregnancy involved here. Come on.
Was that his problem?
Yeah. Come on.
What line
is
he
in? 3 hours.
All right. Brant.
Yeah.
So, what's your question without using the F word, please?
Quickly.
Well, me and my girlfriend had sex about 4 or 5 hours ago. She just got off the pill.
Hold on. We just put him on hold for 2 hours or 3 hours.
My mouth is bad.
Yeah.
All right.
So you guys had sex about 7, 8 hours ago?
Yeah.
Right?
And like 2 days before, she just ran out of the pill, ortho, tricycline, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was wondering if there's either like a big chance she might get pregnant or a small chance.
She ran out, meaning she had finished
the 30-day cycle.
30 days.
Yeah.
And so she should have restarted 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Low chance, but it's still reasonable to take the morning after pill.
Okay. Do you know where I might be able to get that?
Yes, you're calling from California. It's now available throughout California without a prescription.
All right.
I'm trying to find some way that we can organize a group of physicians that can get up protocols together that pharmacists can access whenever, wherever, so you can just go to any pharmacy and get it. But right now you have to find pharmacies that have it. You might call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. Not N-O-T, the number 2-LATE.
Okay.
They have pharmacies, referrals for emergency contraceptions.
All right there, Brant. Good luck. And, all right, that's good. You're getting on it. Yeah?
Yeah.
And what about that? She hadn't taken the pill in 2 days.
Very unlikely.
Very unlikely?
Yeah.
When does it start getting likely?
A couple weeks.
Couple weeks, really? I mean, we don't want to give anyone the green light to do this, but a week after the pill stops, still going pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. Alex?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I have this friend, and is it cool if I don't say his name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he weighs like 300 pounds, 300 and some pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes Adderall. He smokes a lot of weed. Mm-hmm. And he drinks enough. And he comes from a family of alcoholism.
Why don't you call the doctor who's prescribing the Adderall and tell him or her what you see and let them take care of it?
Well, I don't know his doctors.
You never see the pill bottles or anything for the Adderall?
No, I see his dog's pill bottles.
Well, that'll be helpful.
Well, why don't you call the vet and explain what his dog is taking, that you're worried that he's hooked on this worm medication and that he's drinking out of the toilet again.
And Alex, certainly you can confront your...
Even a dog wouldn't stoop to pee in an ice bucket.
Doug has a purpose when he's peeing around the house.
That's how I mark my own house.
I mean, I talked to our 8th grade teacher.
Oh, well, hold on a second. What is this dog's... pills have to do with this, Alex?
No, those are the only pills that lay around the house.
Only bottles he's seen.
Yeah.
I know, but it's still kind of a weird. Is this bogus?
No. You come, that detail you're going to think of in the middle of a bogus
it's
call?
Like you jumping rope and then peeing in an ice bucket.
Yeah, those, you don't make those things up.
you wish you did.
Alex, have you discussed with him your concerns about his health?
You know what? I haven't.
All right, you might just bring it up in a way that lets him know you care about him.
How old is he?
He's also 15.
He's on a destructive course. He's got family history of alcoholism. Doesn't he worry about it? Could he talk to his doctor about it?
Like, I'm afraid he's going to get, like, pissed about it. So, a couple weeks ago, I went to my old 8th grade teacher, our old 8th grade teacher.
Yeah.
She knew us both real well. And I told her about it. And she told me to tell him about Second City. I'm calling from Chicago. You know what Second City is, right?
The troupe, the comedy troupe?
I'm starting to think this is bogus
now. Starting to sound like it, yeah.
Yeah.
And she said maybe, you know, I could get him interested in that, and maybe that'll get his mind off all these, you know, different kinds of weed and alcohol.
Sure,
improv
will cure many an addict.
What's perfectly good for methadone and heroin?
What is that, the eighth step? Improv, where the whole group tries to lift an imaginary manhole cover over their head in slow motion.
They create one of those machines where each one of them makes
a moving part, and they're all connected.
Good times. What is with an 8th grade teacher that would create a suggestion like that? That is insane.
Yeah, but...
Maybe this guy's taking it out of context.
I'm sure involved in something. She's recommending a group or some social interaction.
Yeah, but it's way off from what this kid needs. I mean, just a complete...
Well, maybe there's a rehab center called Second City or something, and he'd gotten confused to think, well, look, it worked for John Candy. I mean,
yeah, I was just going to say.
Maybe she thinks comedy is the answer.
Maybe. hey, Alex?
Yeah.
This guy is your friend, right?
Yeah, he's my best friend.
Your best friend? Listen, screwball, this is your best friend. You go have a talk with him.
Well,
that's why he's your best friend. You just tell him what your fears are,
If he gets pissed off, that's his problem.
Why are you sneaking around your best friend?
Well, I mean, I've mentioned it to him jokingly, you know.
Well, it's all that improv training you have.
Just like, you know,
don't
you're going to make yourself retarded.
No, listen, you are enabling his behaviors. You're not being a good friend. Be a friend. Bring it up with him.
Your best friend. Tell him what. Best friends are supposed to do this. They're supposed to be looking for opportunities to do these things to their friends.
To humiliate.
Yes,
to humiliate, right.
Guy's got a hold of some cowboy boots with a weird silver heel on it or something. You poke fun at him. He gets a bad haircut.
Peanut bucket.
Peeing an ice bucket. It's not like there was ice in it, by the way. I mean, I want to clarify that.
At least then you could have pretended you were at a bar or something.
You were jumping rope, but you wouldn't walk to the bathroom. This is your workout?
Now, let me tell you something. The bathroom is visible from where he was.
How dare you?
It's a little around the corner. Little. 4 feet around the corner? 3 feet.
No. How dare you? It is 8 to 9 feet around the corner, and then for where I am, jumping the rope, it's a good 21 feet before you even get to the corner, and then you have to negotiate the corner.
You're probably exhausted from the jumping.
I was tired and trying to conserve energy.
It sounds fair.
So again, it's eight steps. Eight steps. It's not BS either. Eight steps.
You know, Drew, I'm not right in the front of the living room. I'm over to the end
by the window?
Big window there. So it's a little bit of a hike. Although, to be fair, the ice bucket wasn't right there either. I didn't walk for that. The ice bucket was upstairs.
Were you declaring yourself in front of the window? Was this for the world to see and behold? Behold!
How dare you?
Oh, I'm the master while I survey.
How dare you? No, I have quiet dignity. I turned my back.
Unlike your poor mate,
the window.
Who has no dignity left now.
I'm really wondering what was she thinking?
Cha-ching!
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. After the show, I'm going to get home and crap in an urn. of my grandfather's urn. It's right next to the bar. See if I can make
some
number
creative.
Number
like two. A planter or something.
Number two in that.
Yeah. Something really an animal would do. You know, the carpet.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're right. I really have to examine that. I'm really going to give that some thought. Really going to give some deep thought. Eddie K. Thomas and Sean McGuire are our guests tonight from Off Center. It is on WB. It is on Sunday nights, and it is on at 9 o'clock. So what are you guys up against Sunday night, 9 o'clock?
It's the nothing
big, isn't it?
X-Files.
Did you say that?
HBO.
Oh,
that Sex in the Trousers show.
Not heard of that. Not a cable fan.
But what we give, they don't offer anywhere else.
Right.
What we
commercials, sir?
Brand of entertainment.
Speaking
of that,
it's true. It's very, very special.
Brands of entertainment. An interesting experience today. My daughter stayed home sick from school, and she discovered 70s television today.
Ooh, I was a big fan of 70s television on sick days.
See, Adam and I grew up on this. We actually lived the 70s television. And
was it Rhonda and Laverne and Shirley?
I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched.
Oh, I like that.
And try explaining to
it. That's 60s TV, by the way.
Was it 60s? Yeah, late 60s?
Probably.
And try explaining to it, like, why did they do this, Dad? Well, there was a show called Bewitched, and she was a witch, and she couldn't use her magic, and so they made another show with a genie, and she can't use her magic either. She marries. I mean, trying to explain that to a child's like, wait, what was going through these guys' heads?
Wait a minute, she used her magic on Bewitched.
Yeah, but he didn't want her to.
But that was the drama. That was the tension. That was the dramatic tension. And right. G.R. Dream Genie, she marries him. Same thing. No magic, Genie.
Right. Isn't it the same girl? Wasn't it the same?
No, then my daughter went through that, too. They look alike. They're kind of alike. I said, well, there was...
And J.R. was Bewitched, wasn't he?
Yeah. Was, no. J.R. was
Dream of Genie.
Yeah. But let me...
Oh, boy.
These two broads found the only two men in the United States who would not go for their magic. And they're both, the thing that's amazing about both these stories is they both have a-holes for bosses.
Yes.
Who do nothing but chew them out when they go either to the advertising firm or over to Cape Canaveral.
Well, this is when the man was getting his reputation.
Here's all I'm saying. Maybe if you had a job as an author of children's books or you worked with UNICEF or something, maybe you could see not having your genie or witch wife whip you up a castle or just the Budweiser pony kegs, you know, the big Budweiser car to be dragged around by Clydesdales on yelling, "I'm the king of all I survey." But you got an a-hole boss and a kind of crappy job. You're going to be all over this. Like every Monday. Are you going into work with that asshole Larry Tate chewing on you? No way.
Yeah, if you got a magic wife. And then in this, in our Dream of Genius, the one episode she was watching, he's hanging all over JR. What's Larry?
Larry Hagman.
And he's like, they have nothing to do with it. And that confused my daughter. And what? How does a 9-year-old was confused by this?
Right. Two totally hot chicks who just want to sexually please and do magic to please their man, and they'll have none of it. They're so worried about their boss.
They should remake this show.
What is that?
This would go down well now.
Right. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
I mean, it really strikes you weird. When you try to explain it to a 9-year-old and she doesn't get it, it's like, oh.
Right.
What? I just think to myself, what? What was that pitch like?
Can I just say,
how high were the guys in the room when they pitched those shows?
Along the same lines, I've got a 15-year-old sister who actually turned 16 today, and she came in from school when she was 9 once, and she said to me, "Sean, is it true, right? All my friends at school say that Michael Jackson used to be black." That's not true, is it?
Oh, wow.
She actually said that and had no idea.
Wow.
That's true.
Wow. All right.
So, I Dream of Jeannie, not so hard after that.
Wow. They couldn't have been any higher than the Hogan's Heroes pitch, which is... No, it's a prison camp. Yeah, Nazi Germany. No, comedy. No, Phil, you're not hearing me. Comedy. Prime time, half-hour comedy. No, yeah, laugh track, whole thing. The guards? Yeah, Nazis. No, but lovable. Friendly guys. One big fat lovable one named Schultz, they get along with him.
A guy with a monocle on would be hysterical.
Big
hawk-faced guy with a monocle.
Yeah, he's spoiling him. Yeah, what?
They'll outsmart him all the time.
Hold on a second. Hey, Phil, before you get insulting, were you there? Answer the question. No, you weren't. So you don't know what went on, do you? No, Phil, answer. Okay, thank you. You don't know. Oh, please. You're going to play the Jew card? Seriously, Phil. Come on. We're trying to do some comedy here.
It couldn't have fallen far behind Gilligan's Island. And I
know, but just the Hogan's Heroes pitch. I mean, it's not like it was 200 years after the Nazis exterminated 6 million
Jews.
It was
15 years.
Oh, the guy had probably been working on the pitch in the late 40s. They were still still pulling people out of Auschwitz and burying them when the guy came up with the initial premise. Janice?
Yeah?
You're 21. What's going on?
I'm sorry. I was just wondering.
Hold on a second. Maybe we should start working on a sitcom about the World Trade Center.
Somebody already has. Somebody has.
No way.
I swear to God, there was a story that somebody had
sitcom
about two of the surviving relatives get together, and the sitcom was going to be based.
And the antics ensue. Genius. Genius.
Really?
No. Afghanistan. We're in Al Qaeda camp. Yeah. I got it now.
All right.
That's it.
Al Qaeda camp.
Yeah.
And we're prisoners of war, and we're sending out messages. All right. Janice?
Yeah.
Sorry there, baby. Go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering, the only time that I can have an orgasm is when I'm, you know, having anal sex, and I just...
Say what you want.
I'm wondering if it's... I mean, if that's normal, or what I can do, or... If it's not normal, or, you know.
Why is it is something concerns you in some way?
Well, I can't. When someone goes down on me, I don't have it. But
here's the only thing that concerns me about it. Is that the question is coming from someone that sounds like she just came off of tour duty in Vietnam.
Yeah.
That's the only disturbing part about this. And that it means something.
Have you been through a lot in your relatively short life there, Janice?
She's 21.
Right.
Does not sound 21.
No.
I don't understand.
Hey, let me ask you some questions. Have you ever been strung out on anything?
No. Uh-uh.
Never addicted to anything?
Smoke non-filtered cigarettes?
I mean, no, I don't smoke. I drink a little, but, you know, nothing, you know, like an alcoholic or...
Dad's good to you?
Or anything.
You love your dad? That? You love your what? Dad?
Yeah.
Okay,
uh-huh.
You see him?
Good guy.
Part of your life?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, my mom.
Never been molested or raped?
No. Uh-huh.
Physically abused?
I had a, you know, my boyfriend who introduced me to, you know, anal sex, and he was real gentle about it and everything, and I just found that it was kind of uncomfortable, but kind of,
You like it,
I
right.
don't know, it's
no,
exciting,
fine.
Too.
Again, you like it, and you shouldn't be ashamed
right.
of that. We're just sort of exploring you, less your behavior.
I guess what I'm wondering, what's kind of confusing me is how I can have an orgasm with anal sex without, you know, being stimulated down... You know, my clitoris.
No one is more confused than us.
But listen, women work that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so
just part of, you know, God's plan. I mean, you wouldn't think his plan would be so reliant on sodomy, but as it turns out, it's true.
Even he's got a quirky sense.
Yeah. He didn't think that one out. That's okay. That's fine.
Normal then.
Yes, if you're not, you know, being forced to do something you don't want to do and you really enjoy this, and there's probably, I don't know what percentage of females are into this and truly into it, not just coerced by their boyfriends. Maybe it's, you know, 5% that really seem to enjoy it. Drew, was that lower, or were
lower.
You just pretending to put a thumb in something?
Thumb in something.
3%?
Yeah.
Whatever. You're part of that elite, what we call eagle... anal squadron. Okay, Janice?
Yeah.
So you enjoy it. That's fine. Seems like a lot of work, though.
Well, how do I go about having, you know, I guess what people would call a normal orgasm? You know, I guess I'm just kind of confused because how can, my understanding is that when you stimulate the clitoris, that's when you can get excited and have an orgasm.
Yeah, but
how is it?
Women are different.
We're just telling you that that these rules do not all apply universally to all women.
Okay.
They do to most women, but not to you. All right.
Okay.
Do you have any kids?
No. No.
Okay. What do you work? Are you a nurse?
Well, I guess I could tell you, yeah, I am in the medical profession.
What do you do?
I'm a nurse. I'm a nurse. I just was getting off work.
Wouldn't the appropriate reaction be like, oh my God, Adam, how did you know that?
No. Well, you know why? You know why? Because it's like if you guess the profession of a bass that you pull up from the ocean, it doesn't register
yeah.
at all. Yeah. All right. What is this, Janice?
Doesn't that even give you more evidence that something's up there?
Hello?
Janice? You don't find it impressive and or coincidental that I guess your profession?
Well, who would be coming home from work at this time of night?
How do we know you're coming home from work, Janice?
Well, I thought I told the guy on the radio
You may have told the screener. You didn't tell us.
By the way, hold on. Who would be coming home from work at this time at night?
Fireman.
Yeah.
Policeman.
Anybody
worked at graveyard or second shift or swing shift or anyone who worked at a gas station or a convenience store or truck stop or even fast food places. Who would be coming home? You're naturally a nurse. Hey, wait, when we drive home tonight, all the people we see on the road, nurses, all nurses, all nurses, except for us. Oh, and you guys. That's it. Oh, and Ann. Anderson. Everyone else, nurse. Idiots. All right. Well, anyway, thank you, Janice. You make me feel extra special. Okay.
But Janice, I do believe something is up with you.
Something's up with her.
Yeah.
She's got. There's something I can hear in her voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was gonna say, by the way, a nurse on a MASH unit in Vietnam. That was what I got from her. Just right off the top.
Seen a lot.
Yeah.
Something. Sees a lot of pain every day. Okay, let's take ourselves a
break.
Who else would be coming home at that hour?
And we didn't know she was coming home from work, by the way.
Listen, here's the way this show goes. Once in a while, I guess somebody's profession. Like the one time I said that this girl's boyfriend worked at a batting cage, and in fact, he did work at a batting cage.
Yeah.
Guess the batting
cage. Yeah.
And there's nothing on the screen or anything. There's no discussion of it. And they take it in stride. They absolutely take it in stride.
Yeah, she didn't stop a beat.
Do you guys really believe she was a nurse?
Yeah.
I did.
She just seemed like so...
Why would she say she was a nurse?
I didn't believe she was 21.
Well, she was... Oh, well...
She was hiding it.
She didn't want to say what she did because I think she was... For fear she had a question
didn't
that was
go
a little
to work.
Revealing.
Who says someone could recognize the job and the occupation?
Right. Her voice was sort of distinctive.
You're the anal girl.
Right. We'll take ourselves anima nurse. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dexter
and Noodles
from The Offspring, and you're listening to Loveline with that asshole Adam Carolla and that guy that's full of himself, thinks he always knows what he's talking about, Dr. Drew.
I hate that guy.
I can be better than him.
John McGuire is here, and so is Eddie K. Thomas from Off Center. That is Sunday nights on the WB, 9 o'clock, y'all. And like I said, we should all watch this show. And I'm gonna TiVo it, and all that, it's up against what alias. But you know what? Hot chicks have a lot of trouble doing stuff. I mean, hot chicks have trouble, like, working as receptionists. What's all the hot chick's secret agent?
Yeah, well, that's the one thing Off Center sells, and we put in gratuitous hot chicks simply for gratuitous at hot chicks. Every week there's a...
We'll laugh, and then all of a sudden, while you're thinking, I don't know whether that was funny or not, then they'll just stick a hot chick there, and you go, ooh, she's nice, and then we'll try and make you laugh again.
I'd like to see hot chicks relaxing by the pool, not kicking espionage ass.
Well, that's like, more our kind of thing.
I thought you liked frolicking.
And frolicking.
There's a little bit of frolicking.
Yeah. After, let's say, 20 minutes of frolic, then you relax by the pool.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's back to frolicking.
Now, there's a winning formula.
I'd like to just come out of the show called Frolic. Just chicks frolicking.
In a Nazi prison camp.
Guest frolics. Yeah. LeBeau. Oh, my God. And I told you, LeBeau spoke at my high school about the Holocaust. you know what I mean?
Which one's LeBeau?
I think could things have gotten worse? The The field trip was to the Lawry's seasoning plant in Eagle Rock. And the guest speaker was LeBeau, the little Frenchman, speaking about the Holocaust to us in 1982 from Hogan's Heroes. He was the Frenchman.
Now, this is wonderful.
Jesus.
An actor on Hogan's Heroes telling you about
yes.
the Holocaust.
Nice.
Like,
yes.
he knows.
Yes.
He was on Hogan's
Heroes.
Someone
should have just stood up and yelled, "Sell out." let me tell you, there's nothing more exciting to a 17-year-old high school student when you find out that LeBeau is going to speak to you for an hour and 20 minutes about the Holocaust in the auditorium.
I heard that Larry Storch was making the rounds talking about the plight of the North American Indians, too, around that same time.
That's right.
The M-Troop Indians.
Yeah, the Hakawi tribe. The Hi, How Are You tribe. What the hell... What the hell is going on with Lawry's seasoning plant? Oh, I got to sue somebody for my childhood. John? Yeah, this is where we packet the taco seasoning. Oh, fantastic. If you'd like, you could take a sample home. Yeah, I'll just eat that straight on the bus on the way back. Just pound that straight taco seasoning. Seasoning. Taking packets. Packets of seasoning for the road. Oh, this is great. What a keepsake. This is going right in my memory glass. Jesus Christ. Like to sock everyone right in the stomach. John?
Yeah, hello?
You're 21. What's up?
Yeah, I've been with my girlfriend for about a year and a half. And pretty much, like, we haven't had sex or anything yet. I'm just getting to that point where I'm getting kind of desperate. And I don't know how to confront her about it or anything.
Confront her. When you guys talk about having sex, what's her reaction?
We mess around and stuff, and we've gotten kind of close and stuff. And what happens is when I start, I guess she complains about some kind of pain or whatever, and so I stop and I ease off, and I don't push her any further. I just
so when you control. When you try to penetrate, there's pain.
Yeah, and she said, and I told her, you know, because I've heard your show and stuff, and I said, well, you should see a doctor or something or whatever. And she said, no, it's not like that. It's purely, she's describing it like as soon as I go in, like there's just like so many nerve endings or whatever that I'm simulating. So
no,
I'm not.
If you've heard our show, we talk about something called vaginismus, which is a spasm of the muscles down there that can be very painful.
Right, right.
And until she loosens up and relaxes and learns to sort of get used to this, it's not going to change. And if she doesn't, then it is something that needs to be taken care of formally.
I think, I don't know.
Hey, wait a minute. This loosening up thing, this is interesting, because you always say, you know, there's this sort of wives' tale that women loosen up. They get loose down there. Quiet down. I know what you're going to say. But in a sense, this is kind of what they mean.
Yes, absolutely.
That a woman who has had a lot of sex and a lot of sexual partners is more relaxed
yes.
and not so uptight and freaked out over the thing, right. thus making it looser down there.
Right, so you're saying that all that stuff, if a girl has a lot of sex with a lot of well-endowed...
No.
It
doesn't stretch them out, but in a sense... It does.
It makes it easier to deal with.
More receptive.
Because it makes it more pliable or more sensitive. Yeah, I mean, it's if you're tight, you're going to have, or uptight, you will be tight. And if you're relaxed, you'll be, it'll be more accessible. Yes, John?
Yeah.
Okay, so is she a religious person?
Well, we both are, really, but not like hardcore or anything. I mean,
are you a virgin?
No.
You've had sex, really?
Yeah, but with a
pillow or with a girl?
With a girl.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a first girl.
You're lying,
and
you know it! Not a lot, though, right?
No, not a lot, not at all. But I know she's, like, really tight and really tense and stuff when we do stuff like that.
All right.
I don't know.
So, do whatever Drew said.
Does she want to...
What'd you say?
Does she want to wait until marriage? Is that her whole plan?
She doesn't, but her vagina does.
Exactly.
All right,
Arnold?
Her 17. Vagina snuck over to one of those Promise Keepers meetings in the middle of the night and signed up for something.
Yeah.
Arnold?
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good. Oh, this is Schwarzenegger.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
All right.
Answered immediately.
He's doing all the pre-recorded drop stuff.
People before technology, my name is Vance. And what's your name?
I'm Detective John Kimble.
That's
I'm
right.
A cop, you idiot.
Yeah.
Is this a cool?
No, this is big on the internet. I've actually gotten this call.
Is this a cool?
Right.
What is
No.
It's a website that has a bunch of
More people. Get a girlfriend.
Arnold Schwarzenegger quotes.
Yeah, they do. But it'll.
Thanks for calling Gateway. We're putting people before technology. My name is Cassie. What's yours?
I'm Detective John Kimball.
John, how are you doing tonight?
How are you?
Good. Are you looking at possibly adding on to your Gateway?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you had your Gateway for more than 30 days, John?
Yes.
Right, so you get the idea. You just take drops, you hit the right button, and you're going to have a whole conversation. To me, the most comical part of that whole thing is not the ruse part. It's the Schwarzenegger being named John Kimball. I like when they do that, where they go, John Kimball is a Chicago cop. And the guy goes, I've been on the force for 37 years, and my father was on the force, and his grandfather, too. It's like, really? Where's the thick Austrian accent come from? You don't want to address that? Well, hold on. What's your name in real life? Schwarzenegger? Yeah, you know why? Because you come from Austria, you see? And you got this thick accent. So you just, it has to be addressed. Give the guy the last name, at least Schneider.
Schwartz. How about Schwartz?
How about Schwartz?
Because Arnold's an all-American here. I saw him carrying a big flag on Jay Leno. He's as American as you guys, isn't he?
But they give him, like, his next movie's Collateral Damage is coming up. He's going to play, like, some Detroit fireman, and he's going to have a thick accent. But I guarantee his name will be Bob Campbell.
Or O'Malley.
Bob O'Malley. 27-year veteran.
But then there is Sean Connery as a Russian submarine commander with the strongest Scottish accent you've ever heard.
Well, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Give me his name. Let me just hear his name one more time.
Welcome to Gateway. We put people before technology. My name is Vance. And what's your name?
I'm Detective John Kimball.
I am John Kimball. Okay, all right. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Are lucky we're out of time.
Lordy.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. I want to thank Eddie and Sean for coming in here tonight and putting up with Drew, who's in
rare form.
Rare form in quite a mood.
You're going to get some sleep tonight? You're not going back to Malibu tomorrow morning?
Right? Nope. Going to get myself some sleep.
You got Diana here tomorrow night. It's like old times.
Yeah. I love that Diane Farr. She's a very good egg.
She was the brunette on the MTV show?
Yes.
She's smart and sexy and she's a good time.
Yeah.
Sure, don't overdo it. It sounds like you're compensating for
something. No, I like that, and I would count her as a friend.
I know, but you never talk to her or see her.
She comes to my kid's birthday party. You didn't.
You paid her to.
You didn't show.
Yeah, but they know I love them. I was too busy peeing in
the about to say, do you really want that around the kids?
Very good point.
No, that's the point.
Off center, everybody. 9 o'clock Sunday nights on the WB. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Very educational.
Yes.
So until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
From Detective John Kimball.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.